Hello and welcome to Rhythm and Brews. It's been a while since we've done an episode like this, but we've got a roundtable episode for you today. I'm joined by today's guest, Kat.
Hey.
A multiple...
A multi-timer.
Yeah, a multi-timer. That's
I don't know how many times I've actually been on.
A number... Repeat
guest. It might
guest.
Be like a five-timers
You're more
club.
Than a returning guest. You're a repeat guest.
Yeah.
And returning guest, just returning, Noah Curtis.
Hey, what's up?
Listeners would know him from the R&B, PBR&B episode that we did. Welcome, Noah.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. We are here today. Not only has it been a while since we've done a roundtable episode. It's been a while since we've done a strictly theme kind of episode. We've been doing a lot of like artist focused episodes lately. So today we're doing a theme of current obsessions. I'll kick off our BYOB segment. My current obsession is Weinstephaner's Vetus beer. I am a huge fan of the Weinstephaner Hef. And Vetus is kind of like a cross between that and a Bock. So it's like a slightly darker, slightly stronger version of their Hef. It is a beer that I have known and loved for a while. It's a current obsession in the sense that it is it's produced in the wintertime. So this is one of the few times of the year where you can actually get your hands on this beer. But I love it very much. The first time I had it was actually at this really cool hip bar in downtown Rome when Kat and I were there last year. They had it on draft, and I fell in love with it. And now anytime I see it in any liquor store, I buy as much of it as I can. Kat, why don't you... what do you got? What do you got for us?
So I brought a beer I haven't tried before, but it's a style I really enjoy. So I have Knee Deep Brewing Man Juice. It's a Mandarin Orange IPA. It's starting to get warmer out, and when it gets warmer out, I want to drink exclusively like strong but fruity beers. So anything in the citrus IPA range will do the trick for me. So I'm excited to try this one.
Right on. Noah, what are you? What BYOB do you have for us today?
Just a classic Guinness. But mainly, I think it starts from St. Patrick's Day. Usually. It's not a beer I drink a lot during the year, especially summery in the fall. I don't really drink it, but right around St. Patrick's Day, you kind of get roped back in, and then you kind of remember why you like the beer so much, and then you go on a little run of Guinness.
Do you have British artists on your playlist today?
Yeah, hell yeah.
So some of that too. You're a big Brit pop guy,
I'm just an Anglophile in general.
All right, well, that's pretty fitting, I think. Kat, I think we drew straws before the show, and Kat is going to go first in terms of her playlist. Kat, talk us through your first obsession.
So my first one, I am going to go with a new track from The Weeknd's new EP, Try Me. So this EP, at least for me, was a surprise drop. I just got an email that was like, hey, here's a new record. I was like, oh, all right. And it's lots of breakup songs. But it's cool, though, because it's a little different. You have the first one on this album that's the, like, I'm so heartbroken, you left me. And this one's just like, all right, I'm going to, like, try and get my groove back and get out there. And, like, you can try me. I'll hit you up. And it's got the classic, like, really cool, sexy beat, and his vocals are just, like, so smooth and untouchable. So this came out last Friday, and I've been listening to it pretty much on my drive to work every day since then.
I've listened to this through once, and remember feeling like, even though it's way more low-key than some of his other stuff, it grabbed me more than his last album.
Yeah, I think because it's kind of a return to his roots in contrast with Starboy, because it's not as much about being radio ready as some of his last couple albums, I think.
I feel like the beat reminds me a lot more of, like, you know, Trilogy, Kissland era stuff, even though it sounds more expensive than some of those beats were, but similar vibe. And I think the thing about Starboy was it's just showing you can be he has the chops to write pop songs, obviously, but the beats sometimes it just felt a little too like clean cut for me from what I want from The Weeknd, and this is a little bit more back to some of the dirtier,
it's a little bit more
vibe.
Scuzzy, it, this makes you feel a little bit more sketchy. Like, there were touches of that on not Starboy but the album before it, with songs like The Hills. Like, that song makes me feel just as gross
and
as
often,
like most
often
is so good.
The whole vibe of The Weeknd when I first started listening to it, like House of Balloons era, was you had the feeling that something really horrible was about to happen or had just happened, or he had just witnessed one of those two things,
or he hallucinated hard drugs.
And so there was, it felt dangerous
for
you know
sure.
what I mean, that was like part of the ambience of it, part of the atmosphere.
To me it felt like watching a TV show about a character who is basically detestable, but you want to watch it. It was like Breaking Bad, where you're like, I can't root
kind
for
of
this guy. I can't root for this guy anymore, but like, this is so intriguing. What is going on in this guy's life? It's unlike anything that would happen in my life. It is.
And Starboy lacked some of that a little bit. At least for me, it's
I think maybe not necessarily in the content, because some of the lyrical content is like still pretty fucked up on Starboy, but the polish of it takes away from the credibility of the grossness. Does that make any sense? Like, the fact that you have like Max Martin co-written songs and Daft Punk like featured songs takes away from any sense of like, I'm just a dude from Toronto who likes to get high and like be sketchy, you know?
You can't.
It's hard for him to maintain that same persona when he's dating Selena Gomez.
Right. Definitely.
And so this is like a great segue back, now that he's like not dating Selena Gomez, like back into what we've come to know and love of The Weeknd.
I mean, most of these six songs are probably somewhat about Selena Gomez.
Yeah, I think it's a combo of Selena Gomez and was it Bella Hadid that he dated, or Gigi?
I don't remember.
One of the Hadid sisters.
Yeah.
Because he makes a reference to her on Wasted Time because she was a horseback rider. He's like, you're an equestrian, ride it like a champion.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sexual line.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike him.
Yeah, which is way out of left
field
for The Weeknd kind of content.
Man, I remember the first... He was, at the time, the dirtiest music I had ever heard, I think. Because that song Loft Music of his, which is so fucking good, but like that song is filthy. And I remember reading a review of that album where one of the guys was saying specifically of that song that it's the kind of song you feel like you have to take a shower after listening to.
It's... Yeah, the scenes that were painted on, particularly on House of Balloons, I mean, it was funny too, because I used to listen to that album a lot when I was like walking to my grad school classes for my biblical studies degree. Not like typically apropos of it, but it was, you just definitely felt like it was weird. It was very detached.
Yeah.
It was almost like numb to everything, right? Whether it's from the drug use or whatever, but like, it was just you really felt like he was desensitized to
you hear the sex
jadedness
and in that music that you don't hear in most debut albums.
And most R&B albums are a little bit more, I guess you'd not say sex positive, but like it's a little bit more invested in the sex, like that's the goal. It almost felt like for his character, sex was like just a thing you had to do.
A chore that he was chained to.
And people were using him for, and he was using people for.
Very transactional.
Yeah, the way he talks about sex is very drug-like, and not in a positive way, but like the way people are like, man, I wish I never tried heroin. Like that. Noah, why don't you kick us off with... Kick us off? You can't kick us off, because Kat kicked us off. Why don't you move us forward with your first current obsession?
Yeah, sure. So my first one on the list was the song's called Honey Sweet. It's by this band Blossoms. It's like an 80s vibe totally, and
ooh,
synthy lines. I mean, they're I'm a unashamed fan of like Hall & Oates and ABBA and that kind of music that's just like unashamedly trying to write these kind of like synthy pop songs. So this band immediately grabbed me. They're all pretty young. And they're from a similar region in England to where my mom's from. So I kind of got into it that way, but it's just like summery kind of as the weather starts to get nicer. Like this is the type of music I like to listen to. And this is on their first album, which is self-titled. It's been out for a little while, but I kind of recently stumbled on it. And this is the song on that album I go back to again and again.
Are they relatively new on the scene?
They had been hyped for a little while, but all the guys in the band are probably in their very early 20s. They've probably not been a band for very long. I think in the interviews I've seen, it's like, you know, they've been friends since they were kids for the most part. But I think it was interesting because I saw an interview with the lead singer and he was saying, you know, we've never been ashamed about wanting to be like a big band. Like we grew up idolizing Oasis and the Stone Roses and these kind of very big, bigger than life guitar bands that were like FU were the biggest band in the world kind of thing. And I think I do appreciate the way they try to write. They just want to write big choruses every song. It doesn't always come off, you know what I mean? But when it does, that's like the type of music. It's ambitious. I like kind of like the scope of that. And it's really clean, like production. I mean, they're just trying to make it danceable and easy to listen to type thing. And I think they're funny. They got a sense of humor, and you know what I mean, just from the content they do. They staged this whole like fake fight thing before they were about to release their second album, and they staged this like fake fight with each other, and they released this video about how the band had split up and they were working these odd jobs around like the town and stuff. Like just like they lean into like the idea of being in the band and get it, you know, they just enjoy making music. So it's cool that I feel like that comes through in the music for me anyway. So I go with it.
That 80s vibe comes through so strong in a way that I love. It reminds me almost of the Drive soundtrack.
I thought the exact same thing. And even a little like Small Pools.
Yeah. Do you listen to Small Pools at all?
I don't think so.
I think you dig them.
They're like a perfect summer pop indie band.
Yeah. That's like what I mean, that's exactly like the soundtrack. I was watching a live show of theirs on YouTube and they did, I don't know if it was this song or another one, but they transitioned from like this outro into Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Man After Midnight from ABBA.
That's
like,
awesome.
Pretty seamlessly. And they're like very clearly unashamed like Fleetwood Mac fans and like ABBA fans basically. And
anyone who's ashamed of being a Fleetwood Mac fan, crazy. I don't understand that.
Gonna sit here and dance in my chair a little bit.
This is like really up your alley.
Yeah,
it
really
like,
is. I'm loving this.
Yeah, they're definitely a band that I'm excited. Their second album comes out, I think, in a month or so. So I'm already pretty excited to hear that.
I'm gonna switch gears a little bit here. This next song is by Run the Jewels. And that's my current obsession. My first current obsession is the band Run the Jewels. I got into them pretty recently. Honestly, this is going to sound so like lame and posery, but like the first time I was really exposed to them was in the Black Panther trailer. The song from that, which is Legend Has It, is so perfect for that trailer and made me instantly want to see Black Panther, but also made me instantly interested in Run the Jewels. And then I started listening to them and just I've never really cared that much about hip hop or rap, but their music, their lyrics are so tight and clever and just... they hit you so hard. And this, I picked this song specifically as a representation because of a line that we just heard, which is so fucked up, but also the first time I heard it, I wanted to be like, oh shit, by myself in my car. And it's like, where the fuck's the warden? And when we find him, we don't kill him. We just waterboard him. We're killing them for freedom because they tortured us for boredom. And even if some good ones die, fuck it. The Lord will sort them. And I just remember being like, That's maybe the best rap line I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, they are so consistently, they're never phoning in their raps, which even other rappers who that I really appreciate, like Kanye West, he has lazy raps where he's phoning it in. And I just never feel that way about these guys. Plus, their beats are just fucking fire.
They
constantly are.
They're incredible. They're so tight.
And Kat, there's no way you don't have a song by these guys on your
list. Yeah, I was
going
to say,
well,
if you want to transition to over to my list, I have Talk to Me from Run the Jewels as well.
They're like they're both huge wrestling fans, I know. And they totally remind me of, like, for anyone that watches, like,
the Dudley
WWE
Boys?
Wrestling, like, but it just reminds me of, like, they're like a perfect tag team. You
oh,
know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, they just, like, Killer Mike has these super aggressive, like, very typically very political raps. And then yeah. LP comes in with these really crazy metaphors of, like, I can't remember what it might be, Don't Cry by them, My Darling Don't Cry, but I think LP has a line like, you can run naked backwards through a field of dicks, like one of the craziest just like images that you'll have in your mind.
If I could somehow do an impression of them, it would be Killer Mike doing this like fire verse about like mass incarceration and social injustice, and then LP doing an entire verse about his dick.
Yeah, like, well, like there are in I think his legend has it, he has so many lines about his dick. Or he's like, equates his dick to the mic. Every new album's my dick in a box. Mm-hmm. I have a unicorn horn for a cock. Like,
yeah.
He's very dick-centric.
Yeah, I mean, his are generally really sexual, too.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know how to not spit like a lout. I'll spill a pound of my kids on your couch.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. They have quotable lines.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're saying.
For sure. I think if not that you have to, but if I had to pick someone who I'm more engaged by their lyrics, it's definitely Killer Mike. And even this song has like such another great line, which is militant Michael might go psycho on any ally or rival, born black that's dead on arrival. It's my job to fight for survival in spite of these all lives matter ass white folk. Which, first of all lives matter ass white folk is one
such
of my favorite phrases. And it just flows. Their flow is so good.
Their ability to put words together is crazy.
Yeah, so it's so intricate but effortless at the same time.
And they just feel like a real, like, they feel like brothers in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching an interview where, because Killer Mike, I mean, it had some solo success a little bit. And, I mean, he was on Outkast songs back in, like, 2000, 2001. So, like, Killer Mike had been around mainstream rap. LP, I mean, never has. And has been doing, like, this very independent backpacker New York rap stuff for a long time. But I just think it's so... I saw an interview with Killer Mike, and he was on Hot 97. And they're kind of talking to him about, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, LP is this or that. And Killer Mike was like, he's the best rapper and producer in hip-hop today. And, like, was basically ready to fight whoever wanted to disagree with him about it. I just think it's cool that they, like, they fully have each other's back on everything they do. I think it makes it tight. They, you know, they feel like brothers when they rap.
Yeah. Like, we saw them the other night at the Garden, and they, like, hugged during one of the songs, and Killer Mike was just like, that's my brother, we're brothers. And they're just, like, and they feed off of each other so well. And I think that's the great part about their dynamic, is because, like you said, Killer Mike's raps are a little heavier.
They're denser,
yeah. And LPs are a little lighter, a little quippier. So there's that nice balance in that way, so you're not, like, too bogged down by some of the heaviness. But also, like, take them a little more seriously, because it's not all raps about, like, dicks.
Well, that's kind of the other point of it, is LP does all the beats, like,
and they're incredible.
And so, like, Killer Mike, if you're waiting, it is going to get a slightly higher score for me in terms of lyricism than LP is, but his beats are so much of a part of what makes this band great, that this band
they are a duo.
I love this band. Let's see this band live. it's so much a part of what makes Run the Jewels great that they balance each other out. Like,
yeah,
maybe Killer Mike's raps are slightly better, but LP's making the beats that make it worth listening to in the first place. And so much of what I love about both of them, even though I don't necessarily vibe with LP's lyrics as much, he's so good at weaving his lyrics into his beats rhythmically.
Yeah.
Like, they're, even when they have like slower songs, like that have slower beats, their rhymes are never feel boring. And that's something that I love Kendrick Lamar, but he has some slow songs on his record that I just don't give a fuck about because they don't grab me in the same way that some of Run the Jewels slower songs do, because they're still good at keeping them interesting in terms of the rhyme scheme and the rhythm and all of that.
Yeah. And we talk about this kind of often, three song runs on an album, and Talk to Me, Legend Has It, and Call Ticketron is one of the best three song runs of all time.
It's, wow.
For me, it's one of the best three song runs
close,
of all time.
They were close on RTJ too, because it's, I think, Oh My Darling, Don't Cry, and then Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck back to back, and that's an insane back to back too. Those are the first two Run the Jewels songs I probably really listened to. I think just from what was most played on like Spotify or whatever when I first started listening to them, and you're just like, holy crap.
The last,
a different level.
The when we saw them last night, it was so cool. If you know anything about them, or if you've seen their like record covers, you know that the colors change from album to album, and they had like their logo and then like the pistol and fist, which is their logo, and the like kind of hanging above the stage, and then the colors would change depending on what album the song
from.
They were doing was from.
Which
so they
is cool.
did they started out doing a bunch of stuff from their latest one, RTJ3. They did that three song run that was what they opened with, Talk to Me, Legend Has It, and Call Ticketron.
Mm-hmm.
And then they switched to some stuff from RTJ2, and then it switched to a red background from a blue background. So it's like really cool how they did it. The last thing I'll say about them before we should probably move on is I loved how they framed themselves, because they were opening for Lorde, and they
came on.
So there's
a lot of teenage girls and their parents in the audience.
Yes, like really young girls. Yeah. And they were like, a lot of you who are here with your parents are probably going to have to go home and have the Run the Jewels talk. Your parents are going to be like, you had to learn about cursing from someone, so it might as well be these two weird dudes. And they're like, but just think of it like this. Think of it like you went to a wedding and two like weird uncles that nobody likes showed up uninvited and took over the karaoke machine for 45 minutes.
they're both hilarious and have a really good sense of humor too. Mm-hmm. The one of the funniest videos you can find on YouTube, if you can, is them giving advice to people. It's a teen girl magazine. I don't remember the name of it, but they just read questions that get submitted, and they're all like typical teen girl like type problems. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if this boy likes me or not type stuff, and they just answer the question, but they're very serious about it. Like, they're trying to, and it's really funny. They're just, I mean, they're great guys.
Noah, take us into our next one here.
Yeah, this is definitely a change of pace, I think, from Run the Jewels back to back, but it's called, the song's called Jasmine. It's by this band called The Magic Gang. And it's similar to like the Blossom song that I'd picked first. It's just like summer vibes. These guys are also from England. And they remind me of kind of like, I don't know, like it feels a little bit like some early Weezer songs in some of like the guitar riffs that they do.
I could hear that.
And then they just have some like very like British influences for sure too. And what I can hear like Paul McCartney and other stuff in there, but it's just simple pop songs. I mean, that's what I'm really into right now. These guys do the same deal, and like it's the same thing as Blossoms, like simple verse structure and then like big chorus, like the chorus that comes up here, like that's the centerpiece of the song right here.
This reminds me a little bit of Arctic Monkeys, which I know you're also a big Arctic Monkeys guy.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell, like, these guys were probably like 10, 12 when, like, whatever people say and That's What I'm Not came out. And for, like, it's crazy to me that, like, newer bands that I'd be into are like, yeah, it's like a real seminal, like, moment for me. Where, you know what I mean? Because I was, like, in high school when that record
came
out.
Yeah.
And you hear bands now, they're like, yeah, man, The Strokes, like, Is This It? Like, that was one of the first records.
It's my favorite classic rock
band. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely like Strokes and Arctic Monkeys, like bits in there too, in the way that they play. But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's easy. It's easy pop music, kind of guitar. And I think it's cool. Like, I'm a big fan of electronic music for sure, but sometimes it's just cool to hear like four people playing like live instruments together and like in sync and being tight. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I'm going to have to steal Noah's list.
You're like bopping along to like all the songs he's got on here.
This was one, we were on a trip recently to Mexico, and I played this like the whole like flight there basically to try to get the summer vibes going. And I think there's also some like, I know in an interview I saw them, they definitely cited Brian Wilson is like a big influence on them too,
that.
And like the Beach Boys in general, like, and they try to do a lot of four-part harmonies on this. They're not anywhere near like Beach Boys level for that, but you can tell like that's kind of what they're trying to go for.
Yeah, they even got like a little bit of the Phantom Planet vibe too.
Yeah, definitely.
Those jangly beachy guitars.
I always like, one of the things I really love is finding like, finding new bands or new artists like off their first album. I think there's something exciting about like people recording their debut and putting it out. Like, you can feel it, you know what I mean? It's like exciting for them, and they're not jaded from touring, and like they haven't fought with everyone in the band
you
a bunch.
Hear,
and, like,
they're in a whirlwind,
banged
and
each other's girlfriends or whatever yet. And like, you know what I mean? It's just like you're right. These are probably songs, like, they've probably been playing versions of this song, Jasmine, like, for 2-3 years. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, this is the best this song is going to sound. So I think there's something cool about that. And this is from their debut album, which they just put out, I think, like, 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago.
Really? Is that fresh?
Yeah. This is hot and fresh.
You're like the hippest music person that I know.
I try to, you know,
it's
an
underground record and it's very new.
It's very
new. You probably haven't heard of it.
Yeah,
probably
good. And I mean, their first album is better than their first album, but I think you should still give this a try.
I mean, if you guys really wanted to get into it, there's like a rare bootleg that they did of this show that is, there's like three people at it, but it's pretty good if you guys want to listen to that.
All right. My next obsession is an album, and it's one that had a hard time loving at first. This is War and Leisure by Miguel. Any listeners would probably know that I'm notorious for being obsessed with Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
But his most recent album when it came out wasn't something that grabbed me immediately as much as some of his previous albums. I was kind of disappointed by it. But the more I've listened to it, the more I've kind of fallen in love with it. And I think part of the reason it didn't grab me at first is he released a lot of the songs before the full album came out. He kind of released all of the best songs before the album was released. And so the songs that I hadn't heard yet when the album was released were kind of disappointing by comparison. So it kind of gave me the impression that the album was disappointing. But now, kind of taking a little bit of a break from it and coming back to it and hearing it start to finish, I'm able to appreciate it, kind of the less great songs mixed in with all of the great songs that he'd released before the album came out. So it's become one of my regular rotation albums. And this song is probably the most successful single off of it, I would say. It's Skywalker.
Yeah, it's pretty mainstream.
And kind of represents my overall attitude towards the album, because I had a hard time getting into this song at first, and now I really love it.
This song to me is like the definition of a grower, because the first couple times I listened to it, I was like, this is not what I want from Miguel. I just wasn't into it. I'm kind of into Travis Scott as a, you know, an artist, but I was like, I don't feel like the combo works, and not super into Travis Scott's verse. It took me a while. Now I'm really into Travis Scott's verse, and I think it actually works really well.
That line, in my 23s having a Jordan moment is so sick.
So good.
And I read an interview with Miguel where he was talking about this song and how he wrote it, and then he sent it to Travis Scott to do his verse. And he was like, I was looking for somebody who was just going to add something to it that just was like a youthful, like, I'm kicking ass right now kind of vibe. And Travis Scott sent back that verse, and he was like, I'm in my 23s having a Jordan moment. And I was like, holy shit, that's like exactly what I was like wanting out of this.
I think coming off of Wild Heart, where there's so many like bangers and the energy is so high and like almost frantic, this is a much mellower album. So
yeah,
it is a little tougher to like get into right away.
I wouldn't even say mellower. I'd say it's looser.
Yeah.
And I mean, Wild Heart is one of my favorite albums of all time. Literally, no exaggeration. It's on the wall that I photograph people in front of for this show. And there's just... It's hard to follow up on an album like that and have it knock it out of the park. And I still would say that probably both Kaleidoscope Dream and Wild Heart, I prefer those to this album. But there's so much to like on this album that I hate that I was disappointed by it initially. This song's great. Banana Clip is one of my favorite Miguel songs ever. I love Harem. It's like a slower song, but I feel like his voice sounds the best on this album than on any album that he's done.
Yeah, it's pretty relaxed.
I don't think the quality of the songwriting is on par necessarily with some of the earlier albums, but I do think his voice gets better and better to the point where between this album and his version of Remember Me for that movie Coco make me just want him to become like a mainstream vocalist who is kind of in the vein of Whitney Houston and some of these other people who are just famous for having incredible voices, because I do think he's a vocal talent on that level. Anyway, I could literally talk about Miguel for three podcasts in a row. So please somebody stop me by moving us on to our next song. Kat, why don't you move us forward?
Sure. Since this is a drinking themed podcast, I'm gonna go with Kate Nash's new single Drink About You.
This song is a banger.
It's so good. So she just released a new album. The name of it exactly is escaping me right now, but her first album is pretty much in the vein of like Britpop. It's very like polished pop music, but it had like really clever lyrics and really catchy beats. And then her second album was she tapped more into her like straight up Girl Riot and punk and grunge like inspiration, so it was a little weirder. And this album I think is a nice combination of the two styles for her. And this one in particular, she has a little bit of her rougher vocals, she's got a little bit of the faster punk inspired guitar, but it still has that like pop hook to it. And it's just like instantly catchy. I had heard this song one time, and by the end of the song, I was singing along with it.
And it's just such a clever line. I love, I only drink about you.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, I literally make drinking puns for a living.
Yeah, and I feel like most people have been there. Like you go through a rough breakup or a weird period of time with whoever you're dating, and like, you're going on kind of your bender and revisiting all your past relationships, and you're like, oh, this one is the one that like really drives me crazy.
It reminds me of like, I don't know, it reminds me of like Kelly Clarkson songs that were like these power pop songs.
Yeah, I see
it's
that.
It's definitely a power pop jam.
Yeah.
But it's less commercial, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And she's really charming. Did you watch Glow?
No.
On Netflix?
No.
Oh wait, no,
I did. Is that the female wrestling show?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did.
So she's on that.
She's Britannica, the wrestler
really?
That ends up.
I didn't realize that was her.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so there's like this whole album has a bunch of breakup songs on it. And because of that show, it's like, oh, this album's about Marc Maron. And then I was like, they didn't date in real life.
I didn't even realize that was her. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. She's really good in that show.
Yeah, she's great.
That show's great in general. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah, it was
I was
cool.
Going to say Allison
it was underrated
Williams,
Netflix
but that's
show.
Not right.
With Alison Brie.
There you go.
Martin Aaron.
There's my adult onset Alzheimer's again. It's so scary, and it's weird that that's the benchmark that I use, that I can't remember actors and actresses' names, and that's why I feel like I have Alzheimer's.
Well,
because that's like such useless knowledge.
Yeah, and in a world of having the internet literally at your fingertips, you don't have to remember anything anymore.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, this is a great song. it has that like it has episode. That like insistent
to me
beat
and, you, like, yeah. You mentioned like did you say Katy Perry something somebody like that or
well I said Kelly Clarkson. But Katy Perry might be a to more me, apt to, comparison
to me it feels more like a Tegan and Sarah song like I could see
yeah it. There yeah definitely yeah. It's just the driving beat and like the mate like yeah it's just like yeah it's pop it's power pop but I feel like at its finest
it's very fun.
I'm sure you've got another great
third one
power pop this is song another here, Noah.
No
what, this do, what is, do you got
now now we're now I think I'm going now I'm going rap song's called so I'm obsessed with this song. This is just off an EP but I'm probably obsessed with this song most on that EP. It's called My 19th Birthday.
So the song is the obsession.
The song is the obsession. I mean, the whole EP is great, but it's by this guy, Dave. He's just Dave.
It's my buddy, Dave.
My buddy, Dave. But he's a rapper from London. And some people might know him. His song called Wanna Know kind of blew up when Drake got on it on a remix and gave him some kind of stateside buzz. He'd already been kind of blowing up in the UK, but the beats are good for me, and he helps produce them. He plays piano, but he writes from a very real place. It definitely reminds me of like some of Drake's more emotional songs, not that aren't necessarily about women really, but like just kind of detail, like whether it's like trouble with his like relationship with his mom or whatever. And this song, My 19th Birthday, is really interesting. It's really long. It's probably like a 7-minute song. And it's basically just him rapping, no chorus, for about 7 minutes about him taking stock of his life when he's 19. And just like dealing with his brother who's incarcerated and is in the hospital for some time and trying to deal with like the pressure his family's putting on him to be kind of the successful, you know, son out of the relationship, to how he's trying to get music going independently and not being signed to a label. And it's really interesting. And he just kind of, I mean, he has a vicious flow. I think for some people, UK rap can be tough because the accent can be off-putting or really strong, or the high use of slang can be difficult too, because it's hard to sometimes get all the references. But to me, this is just, you can relate to it either way. Anyone that can write intelligently about where they're coming from is always something I'm going to be down to listen to. But I think, I mean, we can move
on. Yeah, let me change gears here. Two Travis Scott features in a row for me. This is SZA. The obsession for me is her album Control. I actually don't even remember how I get into this. I think the first song I heard was either this or The Weeknd, and I just listened to the album all the way through and was instantly obsessed with it. Kat can probably attest to that. Like, I just wouldn't shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah, anytime we're in the car, you're like, can I show you this album? And I'm like, you showed it to me yesterday. It's great. I'm with you. And you're like, but can we just listen to it again?
And, you know, like I mentioned before, I'm a huge alternative R&B fan, but it doesn't grab me necessarily the same way that Miguel does, just in the sense that she's not a virtuoso singer. I don't think her voice is like incredible, but I think the songwriting on this album is so good. She reminds me of like an R&B Adele or something like that. Like that's what it makes me. That's what it evokes for me.
And I really like her voice, actually.
I think it's great, but it's not virtuosic in the sense that she's doing like these crazy runs and like she's got like this 3-octave register, you know? Like
I don't think this style of music calls for that. So I think it'd feel almost out of place.
I think I will strongly disagree with you there. Okay. Because basically, well, she's kind of like, to me, what she reminds me of is like a Frank Ocean, because her music is a little bit more like experimental than, say, Miguel's, who's definitely going for more of a pop thing. But she is definitely more accessible than that. She's got a more of a pop sensibility than Frank Ocean does. And anyway, I just, there are like one or two songs on this album that I don't care as much about as others, but overall I think this album is so fucking good, and I was bullshit when she didn't win any Grammys this year.
The stable of artists that's on TDE is crazy. Like her, Kendrick Lamar, Schoolboy Q, J-Rock, absolutely. The number of insanely talented artists that are on TDE is nuts. And I think people kind of slept on how talented SZA was because TDE kind of was like, it's not time to release the album yet. It's not time to release the album. And they kind of knew what they were doing from a business sense at least. Cause it definitely got The Weeknd definitely got like closer into that mainstream, definitely got played. I feel like on some stuff like that. I love the album too. I think she's great. It reminds me a little bit of like Tinashe songs too.
I can see that.
Like they're not in their vocal style, but just in kind of, it's like a West Coast kind of has some R&B, has some hip hop elements fused into that, and Tinashe kind of reminds me of some similar things. She's a little bit more pop leaning than SZA is, but
yeah, for sure. Tinashe is more like she's like Ja Rule to me, where like SZA is more like Frank Ocean.
Ashanti.
There you go. Ja Rule and Frank Ocean.
Those guys would never hang out.
No, they definitely wouldn't.
It doesn't seem likely. I don't even know what a song with those two on it would be something to listen to, though.
Kat, what's next?
I'm going to go speed things up a little bit, kind of, with an interesting choice for me. So this one, actually, after listening to the EDM 101 episode of your podcast, I really enjoyed the Feed Me segment. So I started listening to them.
I really enjoyed the Feed Me portion of your podcast.
Anyway.
I thought that was a spot on impression.
Yeah, that sounded just like me. But I got really into them after that episode and started...
Mike Byram, friend of the show and former guest, would be so proud of you right now.
I listen to this pretty much all the time when I'm at work. It makes me so productive. I don't know what it is about it, but it just like gets me through my day. Like,
is it
amps me up.
A get shit done playlist?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Do you have one of those, Noah?
No, I'm usually what ends up happening is if I put on anything, I end up getting too absorbed into it. So like a lot of times I just have my headphones on with nothing because I kind of like because a lot of times if I start listening to music, it's hard. Some things like this are a little bit easier because the lyrics aren't there for you to get hooked on.
I think that's what is good about it for me. Because there's no lyrics, so I don't like get distracted. And it just is very like upbeat, fast tempoed, so you get like energized by it. And when you're sitting at a desk for 8.5-9 hours a day, you kind of need something to spark you. So
yeah, the tempo is
flying. It's a good one.
Both of you guys putting like 9 minute long songs on this.
We don't have to listen to the whole thing.
You gotta stress them. You gotta just, throw it the obsession.
Do you listen to any EDM, Noah?
Yeah, I used to be the EDM music director at my college radio station.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I wasn't even into that. That's like why I got into EDM, really, is because of that. Because my friend was running the radio station and was like, dude, you should totally. I had a show. And he's like, oh, you'd be invested enough in like actually getting things done to like be on the board. But the only position they had was to be EDM because it's a college radio station. So everybody's like, I'll do alternative. I'll do indie.
Yeah.
So EDM was the only one I could go for. So I was like, I'll do it. Like I'm into music. I'll figure it out. So I got it. I mean, from there, I just kind of dove in and tried to figure out. You know what I mean? And
what you could tolerate.
It wasn't even tolerate. Like it just took a while for me to get the appeal of it because I was very much like, there's no words, so I don't get it. You know what I mean? And it took me a while to kind of understand, like, it's not, to get around like the noise factor of it and like hear whatever rhythm or melody is in it. It was cool. I don't listen to a ton of it. I would say like and the stuff even then that I was listening to is a little bit more ambient than something like this, but I can appreciate this as like, this is something I would play if I was like in one of my like few gym visits a year. I'd play this.
I I think
well,
it's a good.
Extremely well put. I don't think Pitchfork could have put it better than that. all right, Noah, what's next on your playlist?
I have the song's called See How. It's by Young Fathers. Young Fathers are a pretty interesting group, and they won the Mercury Music Prize, which is kind of like an underground. You can only get nominated if you sell under a certain number of units in the UK. And these guys won it a few years ago for their debut album called Dead. This is off their third album, which just came out, and it's called Cocoa Sugar is the name of the album. They remind me a lot of TV on the Radio. They have kind of a fusion. There's hip hop, there's electronic elements, there's a little bit of rock. Three different vocalists in the group, so some of them rap, some of them sing. This is the opening track, but it's really one of the singers also produces. It's a cool group, and I love the different vocals, and they kind of intertwine them with different people. But yeah, the beats remind me a little bit, like, there's some similar like Run the Jewels LP vibes in some of the beats. They're way slower, and they have a little bit more of a rock element on some songs with some guitar parts. But I'm super into the whole album, but this song in particular, it's the first one, and I like, for whatever reason, like a lot of times when I'm starting my work day now, I always play this song like first when I get into work. I don't know why that is, but I do.
I think it's like a nice, easy morning jam.
Yeah. I mean, it just leads, I don't know, it leads into the album, and I'll usually blast through this album to like start my day before I really have to like buckle down typically. Because I'll find myself listening to a lot of this stuff. There's a lot of like political, there's some political talk on there. A lot of just like them trying to figure out your place in the world or whatever. Something that's like pretty relatable for me, I guess. And they do a lot of choral or like group vocals on some of the stuff too. They also had a really good song. I don't know if you guys saw the T2 movie, Trainspotting 2.
Yeah.
But they have a song called...
I was going to say Judgment Day?
So they have a song called Only God Knows that's on that soundtrack.
All right. My next one is a song. It's a song by an artist.
They're all songs.
You're not doing another poem? This is...
Spoken word.
Fuck you guys. This is my show. What I mean is... the past few ones I've mentioned were either the obsession was the artist or the album. This is the first one where it's literally just the song. And the reason for that is this is by an artist named Natalie Prass. The song is Short Court Style. It is a kind of pre-release single for an upcoming album. I've listened to her previous album, and it's not bad, but it's just like it doesn't grab me that much. Mm-hmm. But this song I love. This was a recommendation for a friend of the show, Jay Lewis, from Jay. And you know, it kind of reminds me of Fantasy.
Yeah, I can see that.
By Mariah Carey. It has that kind of R&B/pop sensibility to it, and I just really fuck with it.
Yeah, I love the vibe of this.
Yeah, her voice is crazy.
And her last album is not like this. It's more kind of singer-songwriter-y, but I love this song.
Yeah, this song is great. This has like the perfect amount of like bounce that I want.
Yeah.
This is very much to me like, this is perfect timing because this is the exact type of song I want to listen to on a Friday. Like, it sets me up for a week.
On a Friday in the spring and summertime? Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. With the windows down, some
or just, like, something else. I put this on, like, right around, like... You can put this on, like, right around 3 or 4 at work, and you're like, hell yeah. It's almost time to get out of here. You know what I mean?
It reminds me just of my last company, or maybe two companies ago. We had a boss who would always come around and, like, make us put on Michael Jackson every Friday and be like, put on that Friday music.
Friday. Just, like, get the troops.
Yeah. He's like, and he thought it was, like, a big morale booster, and everyone was like, ugh.
I do remember a former coworker of Tim and ours when, at our old job, playing I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston on every Friday, and it was Corey Emerson.
Hell yeah. That song play, fucking that song. Rules.
Which is an incredible yeah. song. And that's also a great Friday song.
Definitely.
And that's
I thought you were
going
to say like something by R. Kelly, something like really inappropriate.
No. Though, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to have played those. But this was played loudly in the call center we worked in. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is like just exactly what you want for like a weekend kind of vibe.
This is going on my summer party playlist for sure.
This is a backyard barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I want to be grilling hot dogs to this yeah. shit.
Yeah, and just shimmying.
Yep.
If you had a pool, I mean, it's a perfect pool party. Full on, like, this yep. is pool party central.
Full oh, on yeah. dad apron.
Yeah, kiss
drinking
the cook.
Mojitos.
Bratwurst in kiss, the tongs.
Kiss the cook, beer in one hand.
I have an apron that says, let's celebrate.
Yeah.
I'm going to be wearing yeah. that, listening to this song yeah. on repeat. Yeah. You better fucking believe it.
The coolest guy around.
I know all of this is true, too.
Yeah. Kat's like, this is not irony.
No, this will be happening.
This is not a bit. This is like the identity of my husband.
Come by in about a month or so. You'll see it.
I'll also randomly be talking about religion, so.
Also true.
Brace yourself for that.
Your favorite cookout activity.
It's going to be so hard to do with this. Let's celebrate apron and take you seriously.
Have you read Nietzsche's The Gay Science?
All I can see is the brat, dude. I don't even know.
Kat, take us, start us on our journey of the last round.
Sure.
Here.
So I'm going to round out my list with the drumming song from Florence and the Machine. She, in general, is a newer obsession for me as an artist. In the year of the Sex Monster, I wanted to revisit more female artists that I really liked. Not that women can't be sex monsters, it's possible. But I found that I had to start not crossing off as many albums and artists that I like to listen to if I focused more on the women artists that I enjoy.
That's sexist, Kat. Are you saying more men are sex monsters than women?
I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
It's definitely true. Yeah. It would be ridiculous to disagree with that statement.
But she is someone that I have always like casually enjoyed. I've liked her singles on the radio and whatnot. And so I just got deeper into her catalog, and she has some really interesting stuff. Her voice is nuts. Like, it's so unique, and it like fills up a song. And she does a really cool thing with a lot of her music where it layers on itself. So this song like eventually reaches kind of a crescendo where there's so much percussion and her vocals are just like really full. But all of it works so well. And this is a really cool take on a love song where she's like, you know, my heart beats louder and I hear a drum beat and everyone can connect with that feeling. And the louder the drum gets and the faster the drum gets, like kind of the faster your heart beats while you listen to it. So you're like syncing up with the song almost. And she does a lot of that with her music where it just like layers on itself so well and just builds up into like a moment in every song. It's really cool.
Yeah, it sounds, I don't know, her music always sounds so primal to me.
Yeah.
Like her voice sounds like that too. Like it's this almost like this like, bellow. She's almost like yelling in
right.
perfect pitch though. Like
yeah.
It's crazy. It just always makes me feel like something that she's like should be like, I don't know, that she should be like singing in like the wilderness or something.
Yeah. Like just like sticks in her hair yeah, and like yeah, wearing yeah. the flowiest thing, just like in the middle of a
yeah,
river.
Exactly.
During
Nell.
A full moon.
Yeah. Like it just feels like it's a force of nature, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And that's and
a
like
Florence
usually
of nature.
Yeah. Perfect.
I'm drunk, you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Like she's spinning around in a field, Stevie Nicks style somewhere, just like singing her heart out.
Yeah, and I mean, who like her band is always great too.
Yeah,
they have
the Machine.
Yeah,
yes.
The Machine,
the titular Machine.
Yes.
Yeah, my no. dad is actually getting very into Florence and the Machine.
No, what's next?
So my last one is. The song's called Wedding in Finisterre, which I am obsessed with the song, but it's more just this artist in general. It's called Jens Lechman. He's the Swedish guy, and has like a little bit of Morrissey in him, a little bit of Leonard Cohen, a little bit of Jonathan Richman, and man, I love the grooves that he always puts out. And his stuff can go all over the place. There's like some disco infused stuff.
This is so danceable.
This is kind of like Paul Simon-y.
Yeah,
almost.
I can't get enough of this song. And my wife and I really wanted to play this like at our wedding, but we were like, nobody's gonna know this song. I love this song. The whole song is really cool too. He's kind of like an observer of the human condition, I guess. I'm trying to think of like a good way to describe it. But like the whole song is about him getting asked to play a friend's wedding in this Swedish town called Finisterre. And so he goes to it and he's like talking to the bride there who's like, you know, having some pre-wedding nerves or whatever. And he basically, there's a line in the song that says, he tells the bride, you'll marry and you'll regret it. If you don't marry, you'll regret it too. Maybe like either way, you're going to wish you didn't do it. And basically they walk back to the wedding together, and then he ends the verse with, and then we all danced and got drunk. And it's really cool. It's just about like kind of life going by, and the chorus is great, and it's just it makes me happy listening to this song.
That's such a great like sentiment.
I
love that too, where it's like you could regret this, you could not, but like let's have a good time.
Yeah.
I wrote a lyric once. It was a chorus, so I'm still like trying to find a home for it in some other like sea of verses that I've written over the years, but it was basically a conversation that my dad would have with me where I'm like questioning, should I get married? Do I want to get married? And he says, there's no such thing as a sure thing. If you're looking for my advice, find a girl you never seem to get tired of and roll the dice. And that's kind of like what that makes
me
think of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the line where he says, we all danced and got drunk at the end of it. But I also love the chorus of this song where he talks about how he feels at the wedding.
And that's some like Simon and Paul Simon
straight
shit
out
right there. Yeah.
And it's also about his feelings where he's still single as he hits his 30s, and he feels like he's kind of disappearing while all these people move on with their lives. I think it's a really cool song. And Jens Lekman writes some of like the most interesting songs, I think, that's out there for my money right now. He has another incredibly good song called A Postcard to Nina about how he pretends to be his friend Nina's boyfriend at her family's house because she's a lesbian and her family's very conservative. And he keeps accidentally blurting out things that might out her at the dinner, and she keeps kicking him under the table. He's just a really talented songwriter. He did a really cool thing where...
That is such a specific scenario.
Yeah, he reminds me of like Leonard Cohen and some of the things that, you know, and but he just gets into the minutiae of of everyday life, I guess. But he's the best. I'm such a big fan of him. And he did do a really cool program where people could write him. They'd give him a topic basically, and he'd write a song for them on that topic. He's just one of those people that's talented at writing songs. And this is off his last album. It's called Life Will See You Now. And the very first song on it, he talks about how he figured out he wanted to be a singer-songwriter or how he wanted to be a musician. And it's because he wanted to like basically listen to people and then like help them feel better. And his friend told him he should be a psychologist, but he's like, I suck at school, so I don't think I'm going to be able to make that. But I don't really want to be always like talking to people. I want to hear people and then like kind of reflect back to them. He's a really interesting guy.
Well, let me close it out with actually an artist that you turned me on to, Noah. Do you have a guess who it is?
Ooh. I'm going to take a stat just from the most recent artist I turned you on to. I'm going to guess it's Daniel Caesar.
It sure is. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Daniel Caesar.
I think actually I wrote a post about this on the Rhythm and Brews Facebook page. And this will come through because you're probably listening to this right now being like, that's a lady's voice, and that guy's name is Daniel Caesar.
What's going on?
He features a ton of female vocalists on his album Freudian, which that is my obsession, is his album Freudian. It's his debut LP. It's so fucking good. But he's got there's so many talented features on it. And this is H-E-R or Her. Probably my favorite, one of the standout features for me. And one of the standout songs, honestly, which is why I picked it. Once we get into the second verse, his voice kicks in. He's just got such a smooth R&B, modern, contemporary soul voice. And his songwriting is so good, which makes this album a standout for me, start to finish.
Very chill vibes on this one.
It's chill without being boring. Yeah. Which is like, that's the hardest part about writing a chill album.
Yeah. I play like, I'll usually play this album almost start to finish, like on a weekend morning. This is like I love playing this thing on Saturday mornings when I get up and I'm like, you'll make like coffee or tea or whatever and you have this on. It's like, I feel like it's just exactly, it's super peaceful without, and it feels, it's like very feeling content, right? The whole song, like the best part, like, It's a feeling of contentment that you get throughout the song, I guess.
Yeah, that's good with that.
The way, and so I got into this in the wintertime when like the snow season was at its peak, and there's something really peaceful about the snow coming down. And one of the most prominent memories I have of this album is going out to lunch on my lunch break at work in downtown Providence, and it's snowing. And it's just super peaceful, and I'm listening to this album, and I'm going to like my favorite lunch spot in downtown Providence, which is the Malted Barley. They got a dope selection of beers on tap, and I'm just like, I'm gonna go do what I want to do on my lunch break. It's a peaceful snowfall right now. I'm like as content as I can be on a work day, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I think he's so versatile with how he combines with those female vocalists too, because they do kind of run the range. You know what I mean? Like there's some different types of voices on there, and sure. he can collaborate with it. I think that's the cool part about it, is that it seemed like a very collaborative project because the band is really tight, and you know what I mean? Everything feels put together very well for somebody's first project. I think that's always pretty impressive.
And I think you called this out when you introduced me to him, which is that a lot of the R&B that I love and have talked about on this show is very electronic. Miguel and SZA come to mind. Frank Ocean, definitely.
Yeah.
And this, it features a lot of like live musicianship, and there's something really refreshing about that in the modern landscape of R&B, which is much more electronic.
It just feels like
focused.
Warm. You know what I mean? Like just warm and like the band is, they're tight, but they're relaxed. You know what I mean? I think it's just such a cool vibe to hit on stuff like that because you can. Yeah, I think he just really kind of nails how like the vibe he was going for. Like, you can tell that I feel like this is how he wanted the album to sound when he kind of set it out.
He was just like recording it in front of a fireplace.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like
totally
I
has
feel like,
that vibe.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, that's exactly what you want.
All right, you guys, it's time to transition to our drinking game. Do you all feel like you've got enough beer, or do you need a fresh one?
I need a refresher.
I think I'm good.
You've got another Guinness in this six pack, so someone has to drink that.
Then I can do that.
Do you mind handing me the raspberry one? Thank you. Pulling another fruity beer out of my holster.
Kata has a beer holster.
A beer holster.
Yep.
That's something
just repurposing.
You didn't know about her.
Yeah. It's a Four Rivers Preble Raspberry Kettle Sour.
Noah and I are boring. We're drinking the same thing that we started drinking. Vitus, Weinstefaner Vitus for me, and Guinness for him.
Have you tried this yet? I drank all the man juice.
I don't think I have.
So
is it good?
Can't try that one.
You drank all the man juice.
I did. It was very good.
That is ripe for
a Michael Scott line. Yeah.
For that's what she said, but not really making sense in that scenario, but Michael Scott would have landed it regardless. Yep.
Guys, we have spent this whole episode talking about current obsessions. Now it's time to talk about some unhealthy obsessions. Ooh. For today's drinking game, I've prepared for you a series of 9 songs, all of which have a very strong stalker vibe to them. So I'm going to play them, and you want to ring in once you know the name of the song. I'm looking for the title of the song. If you don't know the title, you can ring in with the artist's name, but keep in mind that if you do that, your opponent will have the opportunity to guess the title. So even if you get the artist right, they could take the round by guessing the song name if they get it right. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You ready for the first one?
I'm ready.
High stakes.
I know.
And some of these are going to be hit or miss. Like some of them you'll know right away. Some of them you might not know at all. So have your hands ready on the buzzer.
This sounds familiar, but I can't.
Cat.
Is it the Bee Gees?
It is. Noah, do you have a guess of the song title?
I am gonna strictly guess because I don't know this. I'm just gonna guess "Room Full of Strangers" because that was the first part I heard in that verse.
That's a great guess. It's not correct. So Kat gets this. The drinking rules here are: if you get it wrong, you drink, or if your opponent gets it right, you drink. So Noah, you and I have to drink.
What's the name of this one?
The name of this song is "Nights on Broadway."
Oh, is this the Barry Gibb talk show?
It sure is. That was going to be my clue if neither of you guys could get it. All right, next one.
Man, I'm ashamed because I love the Bee Gees.
Cat.
It's Blondie one way or another.
Ooh.
You're right. So, Noah, you and I should take a drink.
I love this song.
I guess my role in this is I take a drink no matter what.
Yeah.
You're the facilitator.
Yeah. One other thing I'll note is if you go for the song title and you get it even like slightly off, I'm not going to give it to you because it's that important
what
that you get
a
the title.
Dick.
Well, there's one or two of these that it really matters for.
Okay.
Fair.
All right, next one.
Tough but fair. I'm loving the lyrics of this.
So creepy.
Are you really alone? The guy's voice says, but I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to just guess that the song title is called Invisible.
You're right. Yeah. So, Kat, take a drink.
I have no idea who this artist is, though.
It's Clay Aiken.
This is my boy Clay Aiken.
You're the first and last person to say that sentence.
Last I heard, saw Clay Aiken, he was guest starring on an episode of Scrubs, which is a Scrubs deep cut because that was just one episode. He played a lunch guy. Yeah,
classic.
Wondered about that. They could sing, by the way. He did sing on that show.
You guys ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm kind of feeling McLean. It's not bad.
It's honestly not.
It's honestly not. It's fine.
Noah.
I Will Possess Your Heart.
Correct.
Death Cab.
Yeah.
Well done.
I never thought of that song as like, now I'm like thinking back and I'm like, that is pretty freaking weird.
Yeah.
And Zooey Deschanel, I mean, she got out of there.
It's pretty disturbing. You guys ready for the next one?
Yep.
I feel like this is going to be a race to the buzzer one, so. Cat.
Eminem, Stan.
Yep.
Great song.
I almost with was like, Dino white feature. Flag, Dino. Yeah.
I
I'm pretty confident. I'm just going to warn you up front. I'm pretty confident. Confident?
Confident.
Neither of you would actually know the title of this next song. So the artist is going to be your best bet. You probably could get the title with a wild guess.
Ooh, okay. Love that tease.
I guarantee you, you've never heard this song before. If you played Tony Hawk Pro Skater, you've heard this band
before.
Oh, man.
I've definitely played that.
I would strongly.
I'm gonna guess the band name because I don't know.
Go for it.
I'm gonna guess Bowling for Soup.
No. You're wrong. Definitely take a drink.
Simple Plan.
Oof. No.
I don't know.
What if you had to guess the name of the song? What would you guess it is?
Jessica. Restraining order.
Wow, Jessica. Let's listen to the chorus together, and then you tell me if you have a different opinion of what the chorus is.
Stalker?
Correct. That took us a while to get there, but Noah, yeah. Take a fucking drink.
Who is it?
It's Goldfinger.
Oh. Oh, I think you've played this song for me before. But today I awoke to a
private note. All right, next
one. That was tough.
I do not know this
song.
That
was a
full disclosure. Never heard it before. Hopefully you'll let one of you will at least get the artist.
Love it.
Noah.
Oh, now I'm starting to doubt myself. It sounds like the Smiths.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like Morrissey.
One of us is
What's
right,
your
I
guess?
Feel like.
What's your guess, Noah?
I'm gonna say Morrissey now.
You're right. But Kat, do you know the name of the song?
I don't.
What did he say a couple of times in a row?
I don't know. I was listening
Not
to
fair.
The...
It's called The More You Ignore Me, The Closer I Get.
Ah.
But so I think you have to drink.
Yeah, I think we, fine. I mean, I'm going to take a drink. Okay. Moz.
All right. This next one is similar. I don't know that you'd be able to get the song title, but you should be able to get the artist name at least.
Way more songs about stalkers than I would have guessed.
She sounds
I've
really
heard
familiar
the song
too.
Before.
Do you need a hint?
Yeah.
This group is comprised of two sisters.
Dixie Chicks?
No. Noah, do you have a guess? before I give another
clue? I have a guess, but I don't think it's right, so I'm going to wait.
Is it Tegan and Sarah?
It is.
Oh, damn it. That's what I was going to guess.
That's what the voice sounded so familiar, but I could not place it.
Do you have a guess as to who it is? I mean, as to the name of the song? Do you have a guess as to who it is after I just told you?
It's Tegan and Sarah. Yes,
for $1 billion.
No.
It's called Living Room. This is the final one, guys. You're going to want to have your hands ready for this. But again, remember, exact title is what I'm looking for here.
Kat. Every Breath You Take.
You're right.
Yeah.
For All the Marbles.
Yeah. Because I know it's one of those ones where you want to say, like, I'll be watching you, but it's actually the other line that sticks out.
That's what tripped me up too, because then I started second guessing myself. I was like, maybe it is I'll Be Watching You.
Well,
the all time greatest soccer song.
Yeah,
totally
the quintessential. Song.
If you're a stalker, I mean, this is what you should be listening.
This is on your iPod, yeah. Not iPad.
Yeah, no, it's an iPod.
It's an iPod.
It's probably like an iPod.
A very
Nano,
thick, old school iPod,
and it's only this song.
Yeah, just on repeat.
Just this one on repeat.
It's all nine of these songs that I've just played. Kat, do you have anything to plug for yourself?
I have a little podcast called Conquest. Me and friend of the show, Shinmo. We talk about conventions we've been to, pop culture, tent poles, all kinds of nerdy shit. So you can check us out. It's Conquest. We're a Conquest podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Noah, how about yourself? I know you are a part of a soccer podcast, so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I do a soccer podcast with my friend Anthony. It's called Football Soccer, and we're on Twitter, FF Soccer Podcast, and Instagram, FF Soccer Podcast. But yeah, we talk about American soccer and current events in the game and stuff like that.
And Noah's like really intense political positions are also represented.
Yeah, I've got, and then occasionally I kind of come in with some wilder conspiracy theory type stuff, and yeah, we just kind of see where that goes.
I'll just lastly plug wasted-minds.com/drinkingbuddies. We've got a link to a kind of gameplay video there. You can also check out our Kickstarter page from there. Sign up for our mailing list. Our campaign is actually, contrary to our last episode, going live on April 16th. So we're super pumped to finally be getting this off the ground. Be on the lookout for that a week from Monday. Jesus, I can't believe that. This game has been in the works for...
years.
For at least 2 years. So I can't believe it's finally coming to a head. So if you have any interest in a game that is both a drinking game and a strategy game, check out wasted-minds.com/drinkingbuddies and sign up for our mailing list to be kept in the loop as far as when the campaign has officially gone live. And I think that's all I have to plug today. So to everybody listening at home, here's to you. There's a world.